You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save and restore your relationship no matter where it is. Even if you're at the beginning of a relationship and you're just trying to head off problems, or if you're on the edge, the precipice of falling apart, this is the podcast to help you develop the skills and understandings you need to move forward. Sometimes we talk about the mindset of what is required to be in a successful relationship. And other times we talk about some tools, some methods, some ways of getting there. And today, we're talking about something that's a bit of a mindset, but also a method. I want to talk about what I refer to as the three C's of saving your marriage. Now, my wife will tell you that I must have fallen in love with C's because I have the three C's, which are the three steps to saving your marriage. But these three C's that I'm talking about today are about approach, the method. So you might say that I have a 2X 3C method. Today, we're only talking about three pieces of that. The three C's of saving your marriage, they are to be calm, constant, and consistent. So let me tell you why I have these. First, they all come from a life experience of watching people as they try to save their marriage. Just last week, I had someone who said, you know, I don't know what to do. My spouse is telling me that they feel like I'm the project, you know, that the marriage, the relationship is the project. And I've taken on this project. And now they feel like the only reason I'm doing it is because I've taken on this project of restoring the relationship. And the person said, you know, the bigger thing is my spouse keeps telling me how panicky I feel and how it really is feeling very needy. This idea of having a project feels very needy. Well, what that tells me is that this person is not going about this in a calm manner. Instead, they're going about it in kind of a frenetic, panicky mode. Now, let me be clear. It is very difficult to be calm during these times. I recognize that. So it's not me simply saying be calm. But what I'm talking about is creating a demeanor, a presence of calmness. You might have lots of fears and anxieties about it, but you've got to find somewhere else to process that, not in the relationship. If in the bit of time that you've got together, you're not calm, what you're doing is you're stirring up some unconscious stuff. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So let's talk about the constant thing. I also received an email from somebody who said, you know, I don't understand what's going on. I really worked hard for a few days and, you know, then I got busy and we'd started to connect a little bit, but I had some other things I had to take care of. And then when I came back, my spouse said that they're just fed up with it. They don't even want to look at it or try anymore. Well, they violated the constant skill. And that constant, it doesn't mean to be working on the marriage 24 hours a day. It means something quite different. Then I had another email just this week of somebody saying, you know, I'm thinking that I might want to change how I'm approaching this. I've been trying to do this connection thing and it's just not happening fast enough. So I think I'm going to play hard to get. I think I'm going to try to make my spouse jealous. What do you think about that? My response was, you can do that if you want. You can change your approach. Just recognize that when you keep changing your approach, you're doing damage. So now let's talk about these three C's: calm, constant, consistent. When I'm talking about calm, what I'm really focused here is how you feel to the other person, how you feel to your spouse, how your emotional presence is. Because if you've got those, you know, kind of wild-eyed fears that everything's going to fall apart, and that's how you're relating, then what that feels like is a very needy place. That it feels like that the reason you're doing this is all about fear and need, not about want and desire, and not about building a relationship. And so what we're talking about is kind of approaching this in a non-frantic mode, just creating a presence of calmness. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had lots of opportunities to be in high stress situations in work. You know, I might be giving a presentation or I might be working on something that kind of brings in a lot of stress to me. I can choose whether I'm going to let on to that or not. So what I'm not talking about is that you should always be, you know, zen. That's not what we're here. It's not possible to always be zen. I'm not looking for that. But what I'm looking for is the presence of that, the create the presence that when you're with the other person, you come across from a more calm perspective. If I'm doing a speaking in public kind of thing, you know, I'm going to do a public speech or something and I've got this presentation and, you know, I want to be liked and I want them to feel good about what's going on, but I don't want to go up and act like I am anxious and nervous because that's going to create a presence for them. So instead, I'm going to act like I'm calm. So part of what I'm talking about here is how you act that way. To take some big deep breaths and not get wrapped up in kind of the panic mode and make sure you're taking care of yourself. Okay, so there are several pieces to this calm. First of all, you probably need to find somewhere else to process your lack of calmness, your fears, your concerns. So find somewhere else to do that. Find a therapist, find a friend, somebody who can listen to you and let you process that out loud so you have a place to get those emotions out. It's not that I think you should bottle it in and pretend like nothing bad is happening, but you don't want to lead with your anxiety. One of the things that we know from studying people and emotions is that anxiety is catching. When you are anxious, when you're acting anxious, the other person is going to begin to feel that anxiety, to take it in and either become anxious or press against that or be kind of wrapped up in it and push against the anxiety. And neither one of those are particularly helpful. So you want somewhere else to get rid of that. The other thing you want to make sure is that you are finding some reasons why you're working on this relationship. In another podcast, I talked about how you arrive at your reasons why you're saving your relationship. And the reasons I try to get people to switch to those, the reasons why, the deeper meanings, the aspirational reasons for saving your marriage is because they're non-anxiety. They're about trying to get to somewhere bigger, somewhere better. And so as I try to push people to find that reason why, the aspirational reasons to save your marriage, it's partly because it gets you to a calmer place. So another piece of the puzzle is making sure that you're working from your aspirational desires to save your relationship. Okay, another piece of this staying calm is to take care of yourself. You know, if you are throwing in lots of sugar into your system, a lot of caffeine into your system, lots of kind of stimulants into your system, it's going to be harder to stay calm. If you're not exercising, so your body doesn't, you know, it needs an outlet for that adrenaline that's coursing through your system. So if you're not exercising, there's a buildup of that adrenaline that makes it harder to be calm. So you want to make sure you're kind of taking care of yourself in this process, getting some exercise every day, even if it's just a 10, 15 minute walk. What I really love is the 7 minute workout. That 7 minute workout is a scientifically designed way of getting your whole body involved. It's kind of a interval draining process that you can do anywhere because the training you do is body weight. So if you can't find anything else to do and you don't have much time, 7 minutes, you got 7 minutes to calm down, right? 7 minutes to process through. And then you also want to make sure that you're eating healthily, which means that you're not eating a lot of processes, a lot of sugar. You're not trying to kind of do those comfort foods that tend to be high simple carbohydrates and a lot of white stuff, you know, potatoes and pasta and things like that. But you're really eating some good substantial nutrient stuff. That's very important to take care of yourself in the midst of a crisis. It allows you to bring your best to it. And the other is that you're doing belly breathing. When I talk about belly breathing, that means that you're finding a way of breathing only through your belly. So the easiest thing is to lie down on the floor, put one hand on your chest bone and one hand on your belly button and breathe. And make sure you get to the place where the only hand that moves is the one on your belly button. The one on your chest should be still, and it's breathing in a kind of a slow, peaceful way. It's the way babies breathe before we're told how to hold in our gut and how to be different. So those are some ways you can bring some calmness to the situation. Another one is to watch and make sure your thoughts aren't always catastrophizing. Catastrophizing is kind of a shortcut we do of thinking the worst is going to happen. And one of the reasons we do that is because we think if we think the worst, then anything else is better. But what we're really doing is setting ourselves up for a lot of anxiety by imagining the worst. Okay, so the first thing you're doing is you're bringing in a calm presence to the process. That when you're with the other person, you're not allowing your anxiety to lead, but you're coming from a place of calm. Not necessarily that you're at a zen place, but that you present as a kind of a calm place. That you work from a calm perspective, not a desperate, panicky place, but the calm place. Okay, the next piece in there is constant. So what does constant mean? Constant means that you're going to do something now and you're not going to go, oh, I forgot to do something for 4 weeks or 6 weeks, or, you know, I forgot to work on this for 3 days or 5 days. That constant is something that you match with your level of connection. So if right now you're not very connected, you can't go from not very connected, not having much communication, to texting 5 or 6 times a day. Texting 5 or 6 times a day may be something that's possible when you have a fully connected relationship. But right now you're trying to match your level of approach with the level of connection. If there's a lot of disconnection, then you've got to slowly start ramping up the connection on a constant way. So let's say that you have no connection. You haven't really had any conversations for a couple of weeks. Then I would suggest you send 1 or 2 one-way texts during that week. If you want to know about the one-way text, that's something that I actually cover in the system and how to do it. Also, I've covered that in my advanced training program. So if you're interested in that, that's another way you can contact me, lee@savethemarriage.com, and I can give you some more training on that. But that training was a much more extended training on how to do those one-way messages to try to pull somebody back into connection. Okay, so then let's say that another approach you're having is tag-alongs. If you're not familiar with tag-alongs, it's also something that I talk about in the system as a way of a low-key time, a way of spending time with the other person in a way that doesn't feel forceful or like on a big date or makes a big deal of it. And so you might do that, you know, once a week. And so what you're trying to do is create an increasing level of interaction, an increasing level of connection. But you're working on it on a constant level, that you're not doing something now and then forgetting that you're going to do something for another 4 or 5 weeks, which is one of the reasons that I stress writing down your plan, having a written plan rather than one that's just kind of in your head. Okay, so part of the reason you want to do this constant thing is because when you're not constant, when you are very unconstant, right? If you're kind of off and on, it's very confusing to the other person. They're not sure what you're doing because, you know, suddenly you pull close and then you pull away and then you pull close and you pull away. Now, in your head, you may be able to say, oh, I was just forgetting, or, oh, I just didn't follow through. But you've got to think about how it appears to the other person. Your spouse is going, why were you trying to connect with me last week and now I haven't heard from you in 3 weeks? Why were you trying to do this and now I don't hear anything from you? What was that about? And instead of it being a good questioning, like, you know, you're keeping them a little off balance, all it does is them to say, well, this is part of the reason that I can't be in this relationship. I don't know what to count on. And so when you're constant, you're creating a way of the other person saying, okay, now I know what to count on. Now I know that this connection is for real. I know that this is a building connection, something that we can grow, not something that just happens for a little bit and then disappears again. Usually, couples at this point are often from a kind of a disconnected pattern. And so the other person only sees this as one more piece of the pattern. The spouse goes, okay, you know, we've been disconnected before and now we're doing it again. So I get a little connection, I get a little hopeful, and then my hope is dashed because it doesn't continue. Not a real recipe for building the connection up. And that is the whole point of this, is building connection. Okay, so you want to make sure that you're constant with your attempts to do that connection. The last piece is to be consistent. And what that means is that you do have that plan. You know, I've talked about that in another podcast about having your plan written down and some hints on how to do that. And which is also another piece that I've covered in the advanced training on how to really get that plan in place. In fact, I even created for my virtual coaching clients a fill-in-the-blank plan, so you have that at your disposal. It's very crucial to have that plan written down and to understand what you're doing and to have it coming from that place of aspiration. And the reason is because then you're not confusing your spouse. So there are lots of approaches out there on the internet, and I'll tell you that I've watched them fail many, many times, with one exception, and those are the plans about connecting with your spouse. You see, we humans are built for connection. And so when we are beginning to eat that, to be fed some connection, it grows and we tend to like it more and we're more involved in the relationship. And so what happens a lot of times is people will start down this connection road, not recognizing that it's going to take a while to rebuild the connection. And so that they want something that's going to help a little faster. And so they go looking for some other trick, some other technique, and they use reverse psychology or make them jealous or, you know, some other approach that's almost the opposite of what they've been doing. And what they're really trying to do is just kind of use a technique, but what it feels like to the other person is very confusing and frustrating and wishy-washy. Wait a minute, you were just trying to connect with me, and now you're trying to make me jealous? What's that about? And that's not what we want in this process. So consistency is making sure that you're staying with your plan. Whenever you feel the need to go find a super cool technique or something, recognize that it may not be about having another technique. It may just take more time to get there. You may want to add another piece, another way of connecting, but don't jump ship and go to the opposite direction just because you don't feel like you're getting quite the traction you want to. When you do that, you're not being consistent. And consistency is what brings the magic together. You can be calm and not build the connection. You can be constant and still not build the connection. But when you're calm, when you're constant, and you're consistently working on the connection, that's when the magic can happen. That's when you can begin to rebuild the relationship. That's when you can move from a place of stuckness, of really isolation from each other, to a place where you feel like you can rely more and more on the relationship. Because in the process, your spouse has come to believe that your spouse can rely more and more on the relationship and on the connection and the consistency of that. And by the way, the ways that it's coming at them on a constant level. And, oh, it's coming from a calm place, not a needy place. So again, the three C's of saving your marriage are to come from a calm place. That doesn't mean that you're always feeling calm inside, but you present calmly, that you have another place where you're processing your anxiety and you come at your spouse from a place of calm. The second piece in there is that you are constant with it, which means that you have a plan in place that you're going to work forward from, that you're going to be working today, tomorrow, the next day, and on and on. This is a lifetime project that you're going to do to rebuild the connection and then maintain the connection. And the last piece is that you're consistent, which means that you're following a basic philosophy or theory of how you're going to do it. So any technique you bring in, any idea, any approach you use is consistent with the other ways you've already started doing it. If you need some more help with that, I would love for you to grab my Save the Marriage system. It's where I kind of lay out the foundations of this, the understanding that's going to take you through it. If you've already got the system and you're saying, you know what, I need some more, I need to step up, let me know. Just send me an email, lee@savethemarriage.com, and I can tell you both about the virtual coaching and the advanced training programs that are going to give you the extra pieces, the extra training, the extra coaching that's going to help you stay within these three pieces, to being calm, consistent, and constant. Those approaches are going to win the day when you get those solid in. We can help you do that. If you need some help, I would love for you to be a part of the virtual coaching program or our advanced training program. Just drop me an email at lee@savethemarriage.com. Do remember that the starting point is the system. Save the Marriage system. That's at savethemarriage.com. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to be calm, consistent, and constant on saving your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.